Good morning, everyone. If you'd like to open your Bibles to John chapter 13, so we'll begin reading this morning. Presence here and for staying here for first service, Bible class, and also for the Lord's Supper, which gives us a reason why we're here this morning. I also really appreciate the song selection this morning about Rich picked out, especially that song right before the Lord's Supper and how beautiful of a song that is. Hopefully it helps us remember why we're here. I caught Ed right before he went to his class, and I say the same things too, but this is not Memorial Day weekend. This is the first day of the week, and this is why we are here. This is the first day of the week to worship God and to remember His Son. So it's not really the weekend anymore, it's the first day of the week, and it's good for us to remember that for the reason that we are here. And I hope you don't think that I'm just being nitpicky to be nitpicky. I promise you I'm not a picky person. You can ask Ashlyn, I will eat anything. That's why my cheeks are like this. But I'm not a picky person. I just think we always should remember why we are here this morning. And let us consider God, His Word, and study for it just a little bit longer this morning. So go with me to John chapter 13. We'll begin reading there in just a few moments. First and foremost, talking about us as Christians, every time I get the opportunity to speak the second lesson, I do my best to direct the lesson at Christians and how we can do better, how we can better apply Scripture, and that's the same thing this morning. We'll be using these first four passages that we will be reading sort of as a connective tissue to the whole lesson. So begin reading there with me to John chapter 13. Begin reading there to starting in verse 31 to verse 35. It reads, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I had said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.'" So Jesus, after taking the supper that we just read about, he sees his disciples and he takes the opportunity to speak with them. And he says, "As you guys know, as I've told the Jews, I'm not going to be here much longer." He says, "That's fine. My legacy will be carried out by people who know you. The way that they're going to know who you are is if you love one another." In fact, look what he says there, verse 35 once again. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples." If you take the time to be active, if you take the time to love one another, people are going to know that you belong to me. So that's the first thing that Jesus says to him. "This is the new commandment that I give to you. You love one another." Let's go over to chapter 14. Begin reading there with me, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. That new commandment, do y'all remember that? It says verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So Jesus says, if you love one another. Now he's talking about love again, chapter 14. He says, if you love me, you will keep the commandments that I've given you. You will do the things that I have told you, or you won't do the things that I've said to abstain from. He says, by that, if you love me and you keep my commandments, you will receive a helper, a Holy Spirit that we'll get to in just a few seconds. He says that it's going to come to you when I'm gone, a helper. So then you jump down to chapter 15. Chapter 15, begin reading there with me, verse 26. He gives them a little more instructions specified to the apostles. He says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So this is what Jesus says to him before we read our last fourth passage. He says to him, look, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. This is my new commandment to you, that you love one another. And if you do that, then you're going to get a helper. This Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who's going to be with you after I'm gone, and if you do the things that He leads you to do, that you testify of me, people are going to know that you belong to me. That's what Jesus says. So now we go to chapter 16, as we read the last passage here in this context. Chapter 16, verse 12. He says, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but I cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. So He says, even after I'm gone, the Spirit of truth is going to know how to guide you. If you love me and keep my commandments, that's what Jesus said. So I'm going to use those four passages we read from chapter 13 to chapter 16 of John as sort of a connective tissue for the entire lesson. Jesus says from the beginning, if you love me, this is my new commandment. You're going to love one another. And if you do that, the Spirit of truth is going to guide you after I'm gone. That was specific for the apostles. But I believe there's also some lesson in there for us. He tells me, you're going to keep my commandments if you love me. Now I'm going to switch here the lesson just a little bit. And if you've been in my zeal class, we're talking about three or four different lessons and drawing them all into one. But he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. A lot of times, Christians, that's how we judge ourselves. That's the barometer, the meter, the measurement that we use of how good of a Christian we are if we keep the commandments of the Lord. And by a certain standard, that is true. That's how we should judge ourselves. We judge ourselves by the commandments that we've been given. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not cheat. Do not do so many things. And we say, as long as we do not do those things, then we're good. We identify ourselves as Christians as long as we abstain from so many things that we know we ought to abstain from. How do you know what a Mormon is? If I asked you to describe to me what a Mormon is, you'd probably begin telling me about their appearance, how they go in pairs, their type of transportation. If I asked you somebody who worships in the religion of Islam, you might be able to show me some sort of stereotypical idea that you have in your mind of what they look like. If I were to ask you what a 21st century Christian was, you might tell to me, oh, those are the Christians. The 21st century Christians are the people who are not allowed to drink. Those are the people who say that they shouldn't be divorcing one another. Those are the people who can't do so many things. They can't go to these parties. They can't curse. We judge ourselves by the things that we can't do. And brethren, I want you to think about this, not in conversations that you have with other people, not what people think about us, but what you think about yourself as a Christian. We're the ones who can't do A, B, C, D, and so many four things. We can't do this or that. That's how we think about ourselves. But go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me re-emphasize what I just said. I'm not talking about how we need to argue with people. If somebody asks us what the type of response we'll have, that's not what I mean. How other Christians of the religious world view us, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about how we view ourselves. If you think to yourself, how come we don't worship with instrumental music? How come our worship assembly, the way that we sing out, why is it designed the way that it is? Oh, it's because we can't sing with instruments. Read with me what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Is anything in that passage have anything to do with instrumental music? It has absolutely nothing to do with instrumental music. Why do we judge ourselves as Christians by the things that we can't do? Why do we say that we are not the ones who can't do this and that, and we look at the world on the outside and how many quote-unquote liberties that they have, how many freedoms that they have, and we look at that and we say, well, I can't do that, so that's how I'm going to look at my Christian life. Instead, we should be looking at it at the point of view of Ephesians 5, verse 19. Yeah, maybe we might not worship with instruments, but at the same time, how does God want to be worshipped? Why don't we look at ourselves as the people, and not in a haughty way, but as the people that worship God the way that He's asked. We worship to God with our hearts. How come when we talk about worship, we have to add the caveats, well, we don't do this, we don't do that. Don't think that to yourself. Say, we do the things that are written in Scripture. And this goes on further. But go with me to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. I've used this point lots of times in my lessons in Bible classes. Begin reading with me verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. You might notice that the topic has changed a little bit. This is where we're bringing it back together. The very beginning of this lesson, we talked about the Spirit and how it was involved. And then we started talking about commandments, how we're not allowed to do things, but we should be allowed to think differently. This is sort of where we connect it here. Read with me what it says, Galatians chapter 5, begin reading in verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law. And now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's stop there. Obviously, Christians, I'm not going to an extreme to say, well, there are some things that we don't want to be too harsh and say that we can't do things. There's a lot in Scripture that we can't do. It says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan is the father of lies. If I'm a Christian, I'm just not going to lie. I'm not going to have any allegiance with Satan. If I'm a Christian, I'm not going to blaspheme. If I'm a Christian, I'm going to love my neighbor. If I'm a Christian, look what it says, verse 19 through 21. I'm not going to do any of those things. So I'm not going to go to such an extreme to say that, yeah, in Scripture, there are things that are prohibited to us. But there's an add-on to all of that. Begin reading with me what it says, verse 22. If you are walking in the Spirit, this is what you ought to show. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's, those who are Christians, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see the difference there? A Christian should be known not by what they don't do, but the things that we do. We view ourselves, we're the people who can't divorce. We're the people who can't do ABC. But we should be looking at ourselves. We're the people who love one another. When you consider families, Christian families, we're the ones who are supposed to keep the family together. We're not going to divorce. We're not going to do this and that. But do we commit to excellence, brethren? Do we commit to raising our children in the admonition of the Lord? Do we commit to showing love in the household? We might say, yeah, we're not going to divorce, because that's easier to say, and it's harder to commit to excellence. We say these definitive statements like we can't murder, we can't lie, we can't do those things. But are we really showing the fruits of the Spirit? Those things mentioned there, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Go with me back there to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Joy and peace. Keep your hand there in Galatians chapter 5. We'll come back to it. But John chapter 14, look at what it says starting in verse 25. This is Jesus. He's still talking about the same thing essentially. But he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father will send my name, and he will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I had said to you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Do you have that peace that the fruit of the Spirit would exemplify, that it shows? Do you have that peace that no matter what happens, you have a positive, steady attitude and faith in God, the kind that the world doesn't have, the peace that passes understanding, the kind that Jesus said, I will leave to you, the kind that the world doesn't have? Do you have that kind of peace? Look what it says, continue reading on, verse 28. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. He says, I know you guys are going to be sad that I'm leaving, but if you love me, you're going to rejoice that I'm coming back, that I'm going away and I'm coming back. Do you have the joy in your life knowing when a family member dies unexpectedly, when they get some terminal illness, to know that is all in the Lord's plan? Especially when somebody passes away unexpectedly. Can you say that you have the joy in your heart knowing where they're going? And somebody might look at you on the outside, how can you be happy about that? How can you find peace? How can your family, with all that's going around, exemplify love of the Holy Spirit? Christians, because we're supposed to be defined by what we do and not by what we don't do. We're supposed to be showing the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of the flesh. And so go back with me to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. He continues going on, verse 22 and 23. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Do you exemplify that? If Christians did their very best, instead of saying things like, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't do this or that, and did their very best in their honest effort to live by the fruits of the Spirit, I think people would know us a little bit differently, and we would think about ourselves differently. Go with me now as a closing passage to 1 Kings chapter 10, please. 1 Kings chapter 10. I'm sorry, 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. Read there with me what it says in verse 16. A man by the name of Jehu says in verse 16, then he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they had him ride in this chariot. We'll stop right there and we'll pick up in just a second. But essentially, this man Jehu was commissioned by God to go carry out this work. You need to go take out some prophets, some people who listen to false doctrines and preach false doctrines. And so Jehu was very adamant about that. He said, I'm not going to deal with that in my country, so I'm going to get that out of here. He said, we don't do that here. You might say, well, at least I don't listen to false doctrines, you know. But do you preach salvation and the truth of it? But Jehu said, we're not going to deal with that. So in a very short words, Jehu takes care of the problem. Now jump down with me, still same chapter, verse 28. Jehu, in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 28 says, Jehu thus destroyed the Baal from Israel. However, Jehu did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin, that is, from the golden calves that were in Bethel and Dan. And the Lord said to Jehu, because you have done well in doing what is in the right in my sight, you have done to the house of Ahab all that was in my heart, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel in the fourth generation. So God, he acknowledges what Jehu had done. He had done what he had asked him to do. But you know what he says to him? You've done the things that are right in my eyes, Jehu, but you still haven't turned away from all the sins. Look what it says, verse 31. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord, the God of Israel, with all of his heart, for he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin. Jehu said, I'm going to be zealous. I'm going to do the things. I'm going to work in the way that God wants me to, if I want to. If it suits my political, Republican, Democratic, Libertarian party and their beliefs, then that's what I'm going to go with. Jehu said, as long as it's in line with what I want to do, I'm going to be zealous for the Lord. If I want to love, I want the faithfulness of my spouse, then I'm going to try for that. But if I don't care for that, then I'm not going to try for that. I might just try for my children. I get to pick and choose the way we think sometimes, the fruits of the Spirit that we want. But we should exemplify all of them. Do not be zealous for just part of God's word, but for all of it. So when it comes to defining us by our do's and do nots, brethren, there are some clear boundaries in scriptures that we are not supposed to cross. But when it comes to our walk, our daily life, I don't think we're supposed to exemplify those things as much as we're supposed to exemplify what we are supposed to do. And if you are not living by the fruits of the Spirit, brethren, then we're not showing Christ to the world. This morning, if you need to come to Christ, if you recognize that you have not been living according to Scripture, why don't you let us know so we can pray for you? And if you are subject to the invitation, let us know while we stand and sing a song.